Stott, the 3-2 on the way. Swung on, line down the right field line. It's fair, just inside the line. The game's tied. Castellanos into third. Dusty is waving him home. Here's the relay to the plate. There'll be no throw. Phillies lead it as the birthday boy, Bryson Stott, puts the Phillies on top 5-4.
What a hit.
Heck of a birthday.
What a call. Heck of a birthday.
Would have been bad if we would have went another way. That'd have been pretty bad.
Well, it went out the right way, Hugh.
Yeah,
that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. That at-bat by Bryson Stott, it reminded me, it hit shades of the at-bat he had against Strider in 2022 when he kept fouling off pitches and wore him out. Hugh, I thought watching that at-bat, the deeper the at-bat went, the more pitches, you could see Diaz was worn out because he had pitched the inning before and then he came back. He was going to get him. If Diaz made a mistake over the plate, I felt really strong. Stott was going to get him, and they hooked that ball down the right field line. That was one of my two favorite at-bats in the game. It's not even the home runs on those that are your favorite at-bats. I just love the way Stott worked that at-bat, Hugh. He grinded that at-bat.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where when you talked about this team and what they said they were going to do, that's how they were going to approach this series. And unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. So to see that, it just feels like, it makes me feel like they're locked in now.
Well, that was a locked in at bat. That was an incredible at bat by Stott. He hooked it down the line, 2-run score, and away we go. My second favorite at bat from the game actually is one that I think can be lost in the shuffle. I don't think it should be. You know, often I only get really excited about Trey Turner when he does something that bothers me, like, you know, screw up in the field or swing and miss a lot or chase. I thought yesterday he showed a lot of growth in the ninth inning. Two outs, ninth inning. It was how'd that go? I think it was a Hayes strikeout, and then Schwarber popped it up. So there's two outs, ninth inning. It could have very easily been he strikes out, he rolls over on a grounder, we go to extra innings, we don't even talk about the at-bat. He worked an at-bat. Hugh, I went back and watched it this morning. It was six pitches, the at-bat. He swung at one. It was probably a ball. He swung at one in the strike zone. And he took four pitches outside, including two that I think he usually swings at. That walk by Turner in the ninth inning set the stage for Harper, set the stage for Castellanos. I thought that showed a lot of growth, Hugh, because Turner was one in the first game that was swinging at garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, and they all were for that matter, Joe. But it's one of those things where when you look at the weight of that moment, because I think at that point it was in the fifth. You're talking about in the fifth inning?
No, I'm talking about the ninth inning at-bat by Turner.
Oh, no, not like, but in the fifth when they only had a few at-bats left.
Oh, yeah.
When you knew that the game was kind of over, that's when it felt like they kind of settled down a little bit.
Yeah, well, the sixth inning is when the series changed, right? They were scoreless through five, and it felt awful. And then it changed to 6-215-592-9494. Let's hear Bryce Harper talking about, you know, the idea of it doesn't always have to be you. If you don't get the pitchers to hit, just, you know, move it to the next guy.
Nah, I mean, I just got to stay ready no matter what. You can't think teams aren't going to pitch here or anything like that. You got to stay ready. Take the balls when you can. Swing at the strikes and don't miss them. But understand that passing the baton is huge in the postseason. Understanding the guys behind you need to do their job too. And you saw it tonight with Casty. I mean, he did his job all night long. And same thing with Bryson. Had huge at bats. Cody Clemens too. I mean, so many good guys behind me to do their job and just understand you got to pass the baton.
So he was talking about himself there because he took the walk in the eighth inning, but he could have been talking about anybody. I thought of Trey Turner when I heard Stott saying that, Harper saying that, because he passed the baton and they got the job done. Let's go to the phone lines here. Bruce is up on WIP. Hey, Bruce.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
How you doing today?
Hey, Bruce. What's up, buddy?
Hey, look, I got a funny story to tell you. Well, I'll tell you, I'm definitely confident about the team. But look, I was actually in Philly on Saturday, and me and my mom had a dinner at a live casino. So we were there when the fans were coming out. And I tell you, I was just so mad about that first game. And some of the guys, they came into the casino cussing and talking. Oh, my God, it was hilarious. It was a hot mess in live casino that night.
Oh, I was at the game, Bruce. It was a hot mess in my section. You got people saying, trade him, dump him, move on.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, people were in there. Everyone's in their feelings
everybody getting cut after that one.
Yes.
Yeah, and then on top of that, there was this one guy he had on a Mets union. He had his girlfriend, and he was just strolled up into the casino. And somebody said, get the F out of here. He said, what are you doing here? You're trash. We're going to get you tomorrow, you know. So it was crazy. It was crazy. So that was my thing on Saturday. But Sunday, I was so angry about the game, and I had to leave and actually come back down to D.C. because of some duty-related stuff. I didn't actually have a chance to see the game until like the eighth inning. And thank God that I did. I'm just glad I was not taken through all of that stress of the game, but I was able to catch the end of it when they brought it back home. But I think just going forward, I don't know what the hell is going on with these relievers. They got the yips, the pitching yips in the bullpen. They need to get that thing. They need to get it together. And the bats need to get started early, because when I actually went back and reviewed the game a little, the start of the game, and they're getting overly aggressive. They need to just calm down and let the pitchers pitch to them. And start, you know, the swinging on the first pitch, they got to stop doing that. To start the offensive flow early, because our bats are, I don't know, you know, the bullpen, I don't know, they just seem to don't have it together, and they need to start hitting the ball better a little earlier. Starting pitching is fine. I'm confident in Nola, but we just got to get the bats starting earlier in the game and the pitching relaxed, and hopefully that'll flow over into the bullpen. But I expect us to win at least one of the games in New York. We'll take it in five.
Well, Bruce, I think that's probably the anticipation for a lot of people right now, that this thing probably comes back for game five. Bruce, we appreciate it. He brought up the bullpen. They got to get it together out there. Like, the starting pitching's been good for two games. Yeah. Wheeler was great. I thought Sanchez was good. They got Nolan game three. The offense woke up. The bullpen, which was considered one of the strengths, like if you looked at the two teams, you would say it's our strength.
Over there.
Uh-huh. It has not been good the first two games.
Yeah, and that's the thing that kind of had everybody kind of scratching their head, because going into this series, we thought that with our bullpen being rested, that was where we had the edge at. And it was unfortunate that wasn't the case. I think that everybody settled down a little bit now. The thing that jumps out to me is that everybody knows the blueprint. But they just didn't go into the game and I guess do the game plan. They got away from the game plan. They went back to, I guess, what was comfortable for them. Instead of, with everything that they talked about, they didn't do their job. They basically were swinging at everything.
Yeah, they reverted back to the worst of themselves. I mean, I think that happens with players, right? You go back and forth between what you can do and what you try not to do. And that's, I mean, Castellanos does that all the time. Turner does it. But when it mattered the most, Castellanos was incredible yesterday.
Yeah, only thing that I would ask is that, you know, guys, let's not wait as long as we did to turn this thing around. Let's just kind of get it going a little bit earlier. Take away some of that anxiety that we're going to have.
For my sake, please.
Yeah, for our sakes, for all of our sakes. Just a little bit. That was a little bit of anxiety, man.
Yeah, well, it was. So far in this series, if my math is right, I think the Phillies bullpen has pitched six innings and allowed 10 runs. I mean, they've been brutal. I mean, let's just call it for what it is, right? Ruiz yesterday gave up the home run. Strom has got hit. You know, Estevez was actually the best one so far. He was good yesterday.
He was the one that everybody was worried about. He was the tightrope walker.
I know. It's kind of bizarre that it's happened that way.
Yeah, it is really, really bizarre.
Yeah, and look, it's only two games, and I still believe in these guys, but they need to be better. Let's go to Alex in Pottstown, who's up on WIP. Hey, Alex.
What's going on, fellas?
Alex, what do you think, buddy?
Listen, you can't be that upset because you get the win. Anytime the playoffs, you can get a win, just get out of there, especially against a hot team like the Mets. You got to be happy. You just got to move on. My problem is Rob Thompson, the entire season, he's all about analytics of what hand this guy is, how he bats, how he pitches. He's sitting guys, like he's sitting left-handers when they're facing a lefty, he's sitting a righty when they're facing a righty. Then you want to bring in Matt Strom, a lefty, to face right-handed batters after he's already been getting shelled for the first game. How does that make any sense?
So here's my take on it. I don't see Strom as someone that's left. You can only get lefties out. I mean, he gets lefties and righties out. I don't look at him like a lefty guy. I just look at him as a good relief pitcher. So who did you want there, Hoffman?
I guess, but my problem is, like, again, like you said, Strom has been dealing all season. So, I mean, he had a bad game Saturday, and maybe you just want him to bounce back. But if you're going to be the whole analytics guy, be the analytics guy. Just be consistent with how you're going to manage the team.
So I get that. And, Alex, I think for the most part he should do that. Against the Mets, though, and, Alex, we appreciate the call. The Mets don't have many true left-handed hitters, Hugh. I think it's only Nimmo, right? Lindor's a switch hitter. They have right-handed hitters. So Strom's going to have to get right-handed hitters out. There's only, I think they only have one. I mean, Winker didn't start yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Or, he started game one but didn't start game two yesterday, right, because they had Martinez. And I think they only have, in yesterday's lineup, one left-handed hitter. So if you're going to use Strom, he's going to have to get righties out. It can't just be lefties. They don't have lefties.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense when you put it in that direction. When you say it like that, it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, the bullpen guys got to get people out. I mean, like, they weren't good this weekend, and it's rare. So this season, actually, Matt Strom statistically was better against righties. He held righties to a 133 average, lefties 230. I mean, he's good against everybody. I'm not worried about Strom. I think he'll figure it out. But the bullpen this weekend was a disappointment. 215-592-9494. We'll hit all your phone calls on the other side. Your reaction to this weekend, the walk-off, the split, how are you feeling? Are you feeling good about this team as we head to New York 1-1? Plus, we have a special edition coming up here of the Big Hugh Breakdown. A few moments of yesterday's game that required some lip reading. What did Hugh see when he reviewed the tape? We're going to have that for you on the other side. I'm excited to see how you translate our guy Castellanos, because I think we all saw something similar there. And what the heck did Brandon Nimmo say to JT Realmuto as he crossed
the
plate?
That's the one I'm really excited to
see.
Yeah,
after the home run in the seventh inning. Hugh's breakdown. Usually it's about the Eagles and Bryce Huff not getting near the quarterback. Today it's different. Today it's about the Phillies on this Reaction Monday. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It's the Midday Show as we talk all Phils on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's have my friends over at FanDuel cap off the NFL Week 5 slate with a chance for a big win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can bet $5 to get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on tonight's game. Let's go with the under Patrick Mahomes passing yards. I'll go an anytime touchdown score, Chris Olave, and I'll go with the cover for New Orleans. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the